Believe it so we can be about our Father's business. Can you say amen? I want to be blessed for His glory. Everybody say blessed for His glory. Amen. To bring glory and honor to Him. Praise God. Amen. I'd won't even go there. Let's receive the offering. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the promise of Your blessing upon our life if we will but pursue righteousness. And Father, we praise You, Lord. Being right wise with You means simply obeying You. Lord, doing what You call us to do. Making commitments in our life that are quality commitments to follow Jesus and to make Him first in our life. Lord, if we will but do that, You will bless us with such blessings that others will see Your blessing upon us and know that our God is the true and living God and that we are truly Your people. Father, as we give today, thank You for the faithfulness of this people. Bless us to be a blessing. Lord, if we had more, we'd give more. Lord, we absolutely commit ourselves to this in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen and amen. Thank You for Your giving. And my wife, as I said, will give you receipts if you need it for income tax purposes so that you can get something back for all that you've given to the work of the Lord this past year, if you can. We do a short form because we just don't have enough stuff to get back. But God is good. He gives back in other ways. Praise God. Amen. I want to talk to you about a truth prosperity. We have a tape on this, and I began this message some years ago out of Job chapter 22, verses 21 through 30. And I began the message. I remember getting to the first point of the message, which was submission. It involves three things that will bring true prosperity. And I always have to start out in review by defining the difference between the prosperity that is so prominently preached and the true prosperity that God wants to bring Christian people. I don't ever like, because of false doctrine, to throw out babies with bathwaters. You know, sometimes you can not preach prosperity at all to God's people because there's an erroneous message out there. It's just like tongues. Some people got turned off. Charles Stanley came up through and had some encounters with Pentecost. And he had a bad experience with the Pentecostal movement. And so he wrote off the entire movement. And I think that was a terrible, tragic mistake. I think Charles is a good man, a good-hearted man. He and I would have some vigorous discussions over doctrine. Well, I just thought I'd tell you that. Me and a whole lot of people have vigorous discussions over doctrine. But I try to get my doctrine from the Word of God, and I try not to throw out something because there's someone using it erroneously. There is a real prosperity for God's people. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in good health as your soul prospers is a legitimate scripture that should be claimed by God's people. Amen. It is actually in the context of a greeting. How you would bless someone. There's an Irish greeting about it. But let the wind be at your back, and let this happen, and let happen. I wish that you be in good health and prosper as your soul prospers. God wants good for His people. Make no mistake about it. He wants to do good. You can't ever have another healing line if you doubt that God wants to heal and help His people. Not of us to get rid of the oil and forget about all of that. God wants to bless His people. God wants to prosper us. But it's contingent on our soul prospering. And the wonderful thing about your soul prospering is it don't take a lot of things, the way the world looks at prosperity, to make you happy and make you feel rich. Holy murmurs just then. Let's try that again. When God prospers your soul and you really know what you have in Christ and you're fulfilled spiritually, it doesn't take as many things. You know, there was a guy at work and he said, if I won this, if I won that amount, because if you really set them off when you talk about these big lottery wins and all, you know, and this one guy said, I wouldn't want much. I just want me, one of those log homes, just a log home. I don't need a big mansion like you'd see down in Fort Lauderdale or Miami. I just want a log home with a nice view, maybe a couple of acres, you know, and some dogs in the yard, and you know, and somebody shaking their head. They don't want a log home. Amen. She wants a she said termites. She wants a block home that a big bad wolf can't blow down. Can you say amen? Hey, honey, a log home be hard-pressed to blow it down, I'll tell you right now. But they're talking about living simply and being satisfied if they didn't just have to watch every penny. And you know, they're talking about simple thing, more simplicity in life. If there's anything good going to come to the church through this economic pressure we're under, it's maybe finding out what we really need to make us fulfilled and happy. And maybe finding more of that in Jesus Christ and less of it in what the world says. If you don't have this, if you don't do this, you can't possibly be happy. Amen. Listen to me very, very carefully today. God wants to bless His people. God desires to bless His people. But He wants us to understand how to evaluate what blessings are. I see my health as riches today. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And I'm not just talking about, amen, my physical health, but my spiritual health. I still love Jesus. I'm not doing this morning because it's, you know, I have nothing better to do, or this is going to bring me some kind of wealth and fame. How many know I'm not getting wealthy or famous by doing this? Amen. But what? I love my Master. I told somebody that at work and it blew them away. They never heard anybody talk about, loving their Master. And they said, "Why do you do this, Rev?" I said, "Because I love my Master." And their jaw dropped. It's like, you know, love your Master. You mean you don't just obey God because you're afraid that He's going to get you. You actually love Him and you serve Him because you love Him. And you call Him your Master and you bow to Him because you love Him? Yes. Well, you know, I thought that was a given. I thought that's what Christianity is representative of. We love our Master. What brings you into a life of obedience is love for your Master. If a man loved me, and I'm not talking about what we say or what we sing. I'm not even talking about the sentimental feelings we may feel in our emotions when we have communion. I'm talking about loving Him. Here's a true saying. I didn't say it. I wish I had, but I can keep repeating it, and others repeat it. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. Forget money. I beseech you by the mercies of God. In other words, God's been so good to you. He's loved you with such a perfect love, such a sacrificial love. I beseech you then, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you would present your body, that you'd love Him back. Say, love Him back.
Love Him back.
Amen. Presenting your body a living sacrifice is loving Him back.
Yeah.
Amen. For loving you like He's loved you. God literally wants to stimulate that kind of commitment out of our life by us appreciating anew and afresh what He's done for us at the cross. When you get over that, you don't love Him back like that. He doesn't have the whole of you. He has the parts that you're willing to give up, but He doesn't have the whole of you. Can you say amen? There was an army that hated, and you see that in Israel, and you see that in the Gaza situation. All of this hate goes back for decades. It goes back for centuries. Can you say amen? Literally thousands of years. That hate in the Middle East, anybody with a Middle East peace plan, honey, you got to undo something. You can't undo that in a 10-year period or 20-year period. It's a great idea. It's wonderful to pursue that. But ultimately, that can only be settled when Christ Himself arrives here. It's going to be a temporary settling, amen, when the Antichrist comes on the scene. But it's only going to be temporary for 3.5 years. Can you say amen? The true peacemaker is only when Christ returns. Until then, there's going to be wars, and there's going to be rumors of wars, regardless of the United Nations efforts. And we should keep making the efforts. Don't get me wrong. But we're not going to see this change until Jesus Christ returns. Amen. Isn't it wonderful what's going to happen when He returns to this earth? Hallelujah. Listen. Commitment is not something you just preach and declare. Surrender and commitment and obedience, a new commitment to obey, constitutes repentance. You've never repented unless there's a commitment to obey. If Christ says love your enemies and you got an enemy that you justify having feelings against, and you disobey Jesus Christ, repentance is a new commitment and says, I'm going to forgive that enemy. Amen? See, the deal about obedience to God, it's not whether it's a big thing or a little thing. It's the attitude of our heart. I know a man in Plant City, and he has a tobacco habit, the kind you put in your mouth. And he said, will this put me in any kind of jeopardy with the Lord? Because I love this. I'm not giving it up. I said, well, you know, it's not the tobacco anymore now. It's not even an issue of tobacco or habit. You know what the issue is? He said, what? I said, that attitude right there. That attitude that says, I don't care what God says. I'm not giving this up. So it's not even a tobacco issue anymore, is it? What is the issue? It's obedience. It's simple obedience. And the problem is we think we can not be disobedient because we're not disobeying in the big things. You know, I'm not an adulterer, I'm not a thief, I'm not a murderer, so I'm okay. Well, there's other things. The Bible said when we hear the word of God and we don't commit to obey it in the book of James, we're like a man that beholds his natural face in a glass and walks away. You know what? You know what this service is to do? We literally see ourselves as we truly are, mirrored in God's word. Not how we project ourselves or others perceive us, but how we truly are. How many know a mirror is good? I don't care what you think about yourself, a mirror is going to tell you the truth. Can you say amen? Isn't a mirror going to tell us the truth? Yeah, there are mirrors that I would prefer to other mirrors. Some mirrors tell you too much truth. You ever seen those slimming mirrors? I mean, they're not meant to be, but you just look slimmer in that mirror than this mirror. Well, I hate to break this to you, but that other mirror is probably the accurate one. Amen? The Bible said if we hear the word and we don't obey it, we don't commit to obey, we're like a man that beheld his natural face, his true self. Everybody say his true self. In a glass, in a mirror. We see ourselves as we truly are. But he goes away. He doesn't deal with anything that needs to be changed. He goes away and forgets what manner of man he was. You can be challenged to obey in a service and see that you're not being obedient and walk out of this building with no heart to change anything. That means no repentance, no change, amen, is taking place as a result of being confronted with God's word. And we can get very sentimental when we talk about Jesus dying on the cross. Paul said God wants more than sentimentality. He wants you to offer yourself in return for his offering to you, himself to you. He wants you to love him back for loving you. Yeah. I beseech you, brethren, how does he stimulate this? I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God. What has God in his mercy done concerning you? And what did it cost him to do it? What did it cost the Father to give his Son for you? What did it cost Jesus Christ to hang and not just die? When they hung Saddam Hussein, boom, the moment his weight of his body, amen, his neck stopped the weight of his body, his neck popped. And he was instantly dead. The moment in a firing squad that they shoot for that target over the heart, and those bullets penetrate that heart, boom, you're dead. There may be a gasp or two, but you're dead. The moment they inject you and put you into this deep sleep and then they stop your heart, you're gone. The suffering is in the anticipation of dying, not in the throes of death. None of these represent torture, even though they lead to death. Jesus' death was tortured. He was tortured to death. He was tortured before he was put on the cross. And he was tortured for 6 hours on the cross. And remember, the man who was being tortured could have called the angels, the legions of angels. He's the commander-in-chief of heaven's armies. He could have called those armies and destroyed the earth and the people that mocked him and the disciples that denied him. He had every right to do that, but he didn't, because he loved you and he loved me. And I could stand up here and demand that you love him, but that won't make you love him. But I'm going to keep proclaiming him and hope that someday it sinks deep enough in your heart that you might want to love him back by obeying him. Because you can't love him back any other way acceptably. Thank you for the hearty amen. Your song and your tear when you sing it, that sentimental feeling you get is not the same as obedience. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. There's no sacrifice that God honors greater than obedience. Can you say amen? Saul disobeyed, but he thought, but I'm going to give these things to the Lord. I'm going to glorify Him by bringing this king back that I was told to slay and bringing the animals back that I was told not to touch. In fact, I'm going to take these great beasts and offer them as a sacrifice unto God. God didn't ask him to bring him animals to sacrifice. He told him to obey him. And Saul did not obey him. And he tried to cover it up with religiosity. And the prophet met him and said, what is this sound of this braying of the oxen? What did God tell you? He said, but I brought these back for the Lord. I'm going to maintain my religious facade in the midst of all of this rebellion. Disobedience is rebellion. Make no mistake about it. There's no other word. When your children disobey you, they're manifesting rebellious attitudes. Thank you. Amen? If we don't see disobedience as rebellion, we're going to accommodate it. If we keep accommodating it, we're never going to know His righteousness. You can't be right with God with a disobedient attitude. Now, you're going to have trouble obeying because your flesh is going to be your major obstacle to obedience. Everybody say, my flesh. How many know that? The Bible says, love your enemy. Your flesh will circumvent that every way it can. Amen? Every way that it can. Your flesh will try to find a way to justify holding that grudge. Amen? The only way to obey God is to crucify the flesh. And the lust thereof. That's not just wanting to go back to the porno movie. A lot of people don't want that no more. You got a new bent in you. Amen. It's not wanting to go out and get drunk again. Amen. I've never, since I've been saved, wanted to go out and get drunk again. I want to get drunk in the Spirit every Sunday, but not drunk on that old wine. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. I never wanted to do that. Believe it or not, after God delivered me from tobacco, I've never wanted to smoke again. I've never smelled somebody light up a coffin nail and just, you know, went like that and said, man, I wish I, boy, I know I'm a Christian, I can't, but boy, I wish I could have me one of those big black cigars. I crave it. No, I don't crave that anymore. My battles lie in other places now. Amen. But when I'm hurt, I have the natural man, the flesh man, wants to retaliate. When I'm hurt, I want to hurt back. I'm sure none of you sanctified saints experienced that. Pray for your pastor. Can you say amen? And the only thing that holds me back from hurting back, and I'm not talking about fisticuffs. I'm too old for that. I would tell you right quick, don't beat up some poor old preacher. It's nothing to brag about. Can you say, man? You couldn't brag about it. I whipped Brother Venable, a big hairy deal. Amen. Sister Venable could do that. Anyway, moving right along. Do you know how I want to retaliate? Words. I'm going to tell what I know. I want to let the cat out of the bag. Can you say amen? I have this thing, this desire to say something to hurt back. I want to cut with my tongue. And the only way that I keep from it or can keep from it is to crucify the flesh and the lust thereof. Listen, in this idea of obedience, we may read this scripture in a few moments before we close. In this area of obedience, the Bible said your tongue is set on fire of hell. That means your heart unchanged. Because listen, when we're talking about the tongue, we're really talking about the heart. Did you understand when we're talking about the tongue is not separate from the heart? Did you know the tongue doesn't have a brain? The tongue has no mind. How many know your tongue doesn't have a mind? It has taste buds. It doesn't have a mind. It can't think. The thinking comes from your brain. In fact, your tongue can't say anything. If you were brain dead, your tongue wouldn't say anything. They removed your brain. You couldn't talk. Amen? Amen? And the attitude of your heart, because the brain's just like a computer. You can put stuff in, you can pull stuff out. But the attitude of the heart, you are a spirit, soul, and body. So the Bible said the tongue or the unchanged heart. Everybody say the unregenerate heart. Everybody say something else. Because once you get saved, there's another issue. The unsurrendered heart. Everybody say the unsurrendered heart. Because you can have a regenerate heart, but it not be surrendered. And that's what Paul was addressing. I beseech you by the mercies of God that you what? Because he offered himself a sacrifice for you to reciprocate in loving him back by offering your body a living sacrifice. God's not asking you to suffer on a cross necessarily and to die a martyr's death. He is asking you to die to self. Can you say amen? Amen? And there will be a suffering. There will be a suffering. When you don't get your own way and choose God's will over your way, your flesh suffers. But your spirit knows victory. Amen? Paul said, I buffet my body. I bring it under subjection. Amen? So the tongue is what? Set on fire of hell. And I want you to understand, we're not just talking about the tongue as just something. It's showing what's in the heart. The abundance of the heart. The what? The mouth speaketh. So when it says the tongue, it's talking about the heart. It's got to be. Tongue has no will. Tongue has no mind. The tongue speaks what's in the heart. Someone said every time you open your mouth, you let men see your heart. Amen? And it's not in those guarded moments, it's in those private moments that you may hear yourself saying things. Amen? To tell you what's truly in your heart. I've heard myself say things that I thought, Lord, have mercy. I ought not be talking about that person, or I ought not be talking about that situation over there. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that is good to the building up. In other words, don't ever say anything that doesn't build up. Don't ever say anything that is divisive. Don't ever say anything that is malicious intent toward anyone. Don't say anything to tear anything up. Always say that builds up. Amen? We'll see how dedication, amen, dedication to God comes when we offer ourselves, our body, a living sacrifice. The tongue is set on fire of hell. Who can tame it? Who can tame it? Well, let me answer that first by saying you by yourself can't. God by his spirit in you can. Everybody say, God by his spirit in me can. Hallelujah. Say that again. God by his spirit in me can. Hallelujah. Amen. When you yield to the Lordship of Jesus and you set yourself to do the will of God, the power of the Holy Spirit is available. The Bible literally says it is God that worketh in you, both to will, listen, and to do. Not just to reveal his will so you can do it, but to will and to do, to give you the strength to do it. It's actually he that's doing it through you. Amen? Paul said, it's no more I that live, but what? Christ that liveth in me. All of my obedience and dedication is coming from the one who's empowering me, the one that's within me. I will this. God does this through me. Amen. How many believe there's enough power in the Holy Spirit for us to obey God?
Yes. Yes.
Amen. How many believe he will release that power in us to obey God? What Paul meant, he said, I can do all things. There's no limit, amen, to what I can endure and to what I can do in terms of obeying God and following Christ. I can do all things through Christ who what? Strengthens me. Praise God. Everybody say, strengthens me. Hallelujah. Will God strengthen you to love an enemy if you will to do it out of obedience with a heart desiring to obey him? Will he give you what? The grace sufficient? Will he give you the strength that you need? Yes, he will. Will God help you forgive? If you commit to forgive, will God help you forgive? Will God withhold the strength? You know what happened when Jesus said, "Not my will, but thine be done" in the garden? What happened? Was he on his own from that point? The Bible said angels came and ministered unto him. Can you say amen? Everybody say heaven's resources backed him up. Oh, hallelujah. I don't think you heard me today. I said angels came from heaven and ministered unto him. He was already weak unto death, the Bible said, and he had an ordeal to go through, but he said, "I've committed." He set his face like a flint. And in the context of that commitment, heaven's resources show up. Remember when Elijah committed to come out of the cave and go on for God in spite of his fear and his and all of his trepidation? Remember when God got him out of the cave and he hadn't eaten, he was about to starve to death in there? What happened when he committed himself to do the will of God? Was he left on his own? An angel came and brought him a meal. Everybody say supernatural help. Say it again, supernatural help. See, God is not just going to supernaturally help you get a job or supernaturally help you get health in your body. He wants to supernaturally help you obey. If you've got a heart to obey, the Holy Spirit is going to get active in your life again. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. You talk about activity of the Spirit. We're running around looking for some activity of the Spirit. God wants it to begin to take place within you and within me. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we think or ask, according to the power that worketh where? In us. God wants you to do more than talk in tongues or laugh in the Spirit. God wants you to live in the Spirit. Somebody say glory. If we would live in the Spirit, we should also walk in the Spirit. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Does it mean that I'm in, Shanana land all day long? I saw Bowser the other day. Remember the group Shanana, that 50s group that sung the old bebop songs. You don't remember that? You just a whippersnapper, amen. How many remember Shanana? Remember Bowser that sung the whoop, 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 whoop. He sung the bass. Well, now he's helping sell some records for one of those Time Life type situations, you know, or whichever. And he was on there. And I remember distinctly when my son had been told to never mimic tongues, never make fun of tongues. This is of God, because he was a little old 4-year-old, didn't understand all of that. And I remember when Shanana came on television and that came on and said, "And now Shanana." You know, and they introduced him as Shanana, and he come running in the kitchen, and boy, he had a scared look on his face, and he come in and he says, Mama, on television they said Shanana. He thought they were desecrating holy things. He wanted to get in there and send them a letter, write them, call them, tell them something. Amen. Did you know that you can absolutely receive the Holy Spirit and speak in an unknown tongue? And we put such a premium on that, don't we? I'm going to tell you something. God puts his premium on obedience. Make no mistake about it. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Amen. God is looking for obedience. You know what made David a man after God's own heart? Amen. Listen, he wasn't always perfect in his obedience, and sometimes he blew it royally, but he had a heart to obey. God didn't mention David specifically when he said, "A man after my own heart." It doesn't mention David. It doesn't say David. He chose David, so we knew that was his choice, but it wasn't about David. He said, "I will choose me." When Saul began to walk in that disobedience, he said, "I will choose me a man after my own heart." He didn't mention David. But he chose David, so we know David was the man he chose to fulfill this. But here's what he was looking for. "I will choose me a man after my own heart who will be obedient to all that I tell him." And he chose that little shepherd boy with the meek heart that was ready to obey. And when David disobeyed, his heart smote him, the Bible said. See, when you commit yourself to obey, it don't mean you won't ever miss it. but it means your heart will smite you when you do. There's a sensitivity to God's will. You don't overrule it. You don't override it. You don't discredit it. You don't circumvent it. You deal with it, and you deal with it in repentance. Repentance is nothing more than a new commitment to obey. Because if you didn't need to obey, you wouldn't need to repent. I mean, no, if you didn't need to obey, you wouldn't need to repent. There would be nothing to repent of if you're perfectly obedient. Obedience is at the core. A realization that I need to be committed to obedience is what brings repentance. To what? To all that He commands you. See, these blessings are contingent on a full-blown commitment, not these half-hearted commitments. Deuteronomy 28, if thou will hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, hearken diligently, that means listen with the intent to obey. Not just hearing the words clearly, but listening. To give heed means listening with the intent to obey. What good is anything that I'm going to bring you from that book today if you don't have a heart that is committed to obey? What good is it going to do? Because you're going to be like a man who saw your natural face in a glass. You'll see the need for change, the real you. But you'll walk out the door and forget what manner of man you were. You don't want to deal with that. I go to church. I do a lot of good things. Yeah, but what about this thing that you know God has talked to you about, that you know is standing there looking straight at you? Yeah, but I do all these other things. That's not it. Saul tried to get off that way. Look, I did what he told me to do. I brought these things back to put on the altar. He said, that's not what he's after. That's not what he told you. He wants you to obey. Because obedience is better than sacrifice. And to hearken, to listen to him with the intent to obey, than the fat of rams. That's why the New Testament spins off of that and said you need to give the more earnest heed to the things that you have heard. To heed the word of God means to take it to heart and put it into practice in my life. Not to just listen to it and agree that that's what he said and say, but you know something? They did me wrong. Go right out the door and call someone up and begin to assassinate their character, to cut them to pieces, because we feel better afterwards in our flesh. And the flesh thrives at the expense of obedience. And I'm going to tell you something about that. You'll be hard-pressed to find somebody with genuine joy in that condition. You can't be carrying that hurt around in you, that unforgiveness, and have the joy of Jesus at the same time. You've got to get rid of one to have the other. Obedience brings joy. Amen. Eat the fat, drink the sweet. When they wept and committed themselves to obey God in the book of Nehemiah, it said, go thy way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Can you say amen? It's the meat the world knows nothing of, obeying God. Amen. It wasn't just witnessing, it was obedience. That was the meat. At Jacob's well, Jesus was obeying his father. He was doing his father's bidding. And he said, I'm energized by this. Amen? Hallelujah. Has anybody brought him something to eat? He said, I got something you don't know nothing about. Yeah. Did he eat later? Yes, he had to. But that energy came from again committing himself to obey God in spite of the weariness of his flesh. Hallelujah. When I sit back there at that table obeying God and sharing Jesus with those guys, I felt energy. It took me through the rest of the night. I worked 11 hours that night. Amen. Now, I'm not going to tell you I wasn't tired when I got home, but I'm going to tell you those last 3 hours, I had energy coming from somewhere the world don't know nothing about. Because I thought I'm doing more here than just fulfilling an obligation to care for my family and an obligation to this company. I am obeying God on this job. Praise God. Hallelujah. And in that obedience, I felt energy and joy and peace. I thought, God is here with me and God is working here. Hallelujah. Amen. It changed the atmosphere of that stinking old place. Boy, it stinks. What an outfit. Ebenezer Scrooge and Company. They gave people sick days. I didn't take any because I wasn't sick. They laughed me to scorn. They said, "What are you? If you don't use them, you're going to lose them." I said, I don't need them, and I can't lie about it. But I guarantee you, if my big toe is throbbing, I will call in. It's hard to work with a big toe throbbing doing what I do. But I didn't call in. I've only called in 4 times in 12 years. Hallelujah. And some of that wasn't even some family issue. Not my wife either. My son. God has been good. God has been good, folks. Amen. There is meat that the world knows not of. Amen. But you don't get it living a self-serving life. And you don't get it holding on to things God told you to get rid of. And you don't get it letting this thing wag, which means not letting God change your heart. I've never eaten possum. It may be good. Squirrel is good. Venison is good if you cook it right. Amen. I would never make a good hunter. I mean, when that little squirrel looks back at me and I'm looking down the gun at the squirrel. And when I see deer, I think of Bambi's mama. You know, Bambi's mama. Anyway, I'd never make a good hunter. But I've never eaten possum. But I was told by someone who did eat possum. He said, the problem is if you don't cook possum right, because I was asking about exotic foods at work. I asked the FDA man, and he's a guy from Alabama. I said, what is the most exotic food you've ever eaten? I'd heard about squid and octopus, and George used to eat that stuff. Of course, George's a little weird. Anyway, moving right along. Anybody eat octopus is kind of crazy in my book. But anyway, you go rattlesnake, you know, maybe good. Why eat it? There's other things you can eat. Don't eat no snake. Don't eat no octopus. Eat a bass. Eat a trout. Rainbow trout's delicious, isn't it, sister? Praise God. It don't have tentacles or nothing. Anyway, God is good. Don't eat a squid. But I asked this guy, well, what's the most exotic food that you've ever eaten? He said, mule lips and rice. Yeah, I know. That's exotic, isn't it? Yes. Mule lips and rice. Well, they people eat brains and they eat intestines and they eat all these other kind of things. So, you know. Sister, say the Lord just called her on a fast today. Had her mind on food already crucifying the flesh. Hallelujah. You know the food I don't like to eat? The one food that really gets me, that I'd rather eat mule lips and rice than it. I don't want to eat crow. And I'm not talking about the birdie either. You know what it means? The old adage, the old saying, I had to eat crow. That means I said something and it got out there. And I had to go and make it right. I had to go eat my own words. I don't like. That's one exotic food I do not like eating. Amen. To have to come and say, you know something? I was wrong. I shouldn't have opened my big mouth. I shouldn't have let my big tongue wag. I did not mean it. Would you please forgive me? And you know, sometimes people will, and sometimes they won't, because that's one thing you can't take back. That's one thing you can't pull back. Once it's out, it's gone. Amen. So the Bible said the tongue, which means the unregenerate, or in the Christian, the unsurrendered heart. Unsurrendered. What happens when you surrender to the Lordship of Jesus? You know, you don't even have to teach on the Holy Ghost. There have been people that have surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus in a full dedication that suddenly found themselves speaking in tongues. That didn't know anything about the baptism, but got baptized anyway. That wasn't preconditioned for it, didn't have a preconceived idea of it, wasn't seeking it, but they were seeking Him, and they fully surrendered. Because what happens when the heart is surrendered? You can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus was fully surrendered, and the Bible said God gave Him the Spirit without measure. Can you say amen? Everybody say without measure. Back in the day, there was a cream that you talk about greasy kids stuff. You take this cream and you put it in your hair. It's called Brill cream. For those of you that remember back in the day, amen, a little dab will do you. And honey, they're right about that, because you get a gob of that, you start sweating, it starts running. I don't know what it was made up of, but and when I had a crew cut, I didn't. They had that jelly with a little bit of fragrance in it, kind of a pink gel for the crew cut. I used Vaseline petroleum jelly, and I put it on there too to slick it. You know, I had the sides. I had the crew cut slick, and it would come melting down. Amen. The side of my face when I started sweating, I looked terrible. Fed my pimples every single day. Trying to get rid of pimples with Clearasil and filling up every pore of my skin with petroleum jelly. It didn't work out very well for me. Amen? I thought the tongue, when I heard that, it's just bridle it. Just don't say it instead of surrender my heart. You can't just not say it. It's set on fire of hell. No man can tame it. The heart without God's Spirit acting upon it can't change. Even if you want to change without looking to God for the change. Yeah. But God can't change it unless you surrender your will. Because He will not override. So I've heard people with habits say, when God takes this from me, I'll give it up. God is not going to take nothing from you. You've got to lay it at the foot of the cross. You've got to lay it down. For God to take it would be to circumvent your will, to override your will, and God is not going to wind you up like a robot. You have to submit. Offer. Everybody say offer. Offer your body a living sacrifice. That's the whole of you. And it begins with your heart. Holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. And listen to this. And be no more conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove. See, the heart is now surrendered. Now the heart is sending the signals to the mind, and you get rid of stinking thinking. Everybody say, I get rid of stinking thinking. When reviled, revile not again. You start thinking differently about things. Can you say amen? That you might prove what is that good, perfect, acceptable will of God. I heard a preacher preach them as three separate things. There's the good will, which you're not really in the perfect will, but, you know, and then there's the acceptable will. He'll let you get by with it, but you're still not in His perfect will. And No. You can't start pulling that stuff. Disobedience is rebellion, period. If it's not rebellion, how would you describe disobedience? If it's not insurrection, what is it? What other word can you associate with disobedience but rebellion? If you're not rebellious, you obey, right? What makes you disobey? Well, I just got weak flesh. Well, of course you got weak flesh. We all got weak flesh, but we've got God living in us. We're not alone in this battle. I had a young lady tell me who was frequenting the happy hour at bar. She was attending church and claiming to love God, but she was justifying drinking every single day of her life. And she said, well, my dad was an alcoholic and his genes are in me. I said, are you saved? She said, of course I'm saved. I said, you got a new daddy. His genes are in you. Come on. You got a new daddy. Did you get a new daddy? I got a new daddy. Yeah. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Oh. Now you are the sons of God, hallelujah. And if sons of God, then heirs of God. And if heirs of God, then joint heirs with Jesus. Oh. I got a new daddy. I got a new bloodline, hallelujah. Yeah. And let me tell you something else, I got His genes. Yeah. 1 John said His seed. Oh. You didn't hear me. His seed remains in you. That what? That you sin not. You're not the old man trying to do better on your own. You're a new man with new seed. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Woo! You can whip this thing, but you got to surrender to do it. God's not asking you to overcome alcoholism. He's asking her to overcome rebellion. By surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus. I can't get out of the prison of habit. I quit smoking every new year. Every new year I quit. Remember when I worked for Winn-Dixie Warehouse, I would quit smoking every new year. That made a resolution. You know, just like those lose weight resolutions. Don't look at me so pious. Amen. I'm right after finishing off that ham and potato salad on New Year's Day, we make the resolution to go on the diet. Sitting there just full as a tick. Can you say amen? It's so easy to commit to fast when you're full as a tick. About 12 noon the next day, it's all passed through. That has passed away. So I would commit. I'd go to work, go boring, crazy job. I'd commit to quit smoking. And I'd go in there and I'd buy no cigarettes. And I'd be there, you know, no cigarettes. I'm cold turkey in this thing. I'm done with it. This is a New Year's resolution. It's a blank page. I'm going to put on it, no more smoking. And I'd go down there and I'd get in there and everybody'd be lighting up. And I'd eat and I'd have 10 minutes left. Normally in that 10 minutes, I sucked on that thing. And I was waiting, you know, I thought, my Lord, I need me a cigarette. I can't go cold turkey. I need to taper off. I got to taper off. And I quit smoking Marlboro, and I started smoking OPs. You never heard of OPs? Other people's. That's right. And so I would go over to somebody with a big pack of cigarettes, and I'd say, could I have one of them? I'm trying to quit. They'd say, what do you mean? I said, I'm trying to quit, but I can't quit all at once. Can I have one of them? Like a fiend. I got to go back to work in 5 minutes. Give me one of them. And I quit, 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 and I quit. Amen. And I smoked OPs till they're tired of giving me theirs and said, go out and buy yourself some. You quit when you're ready to quit, but don't quit by smoking mine. Amen. That's how one guy actually told me, he said, you didn't quit smoking cigarettes, you just quit buying them. I said, yeah, you're right. And I went out and bought me a pack. Anyway, I couldn't quit. It was part of me. I couldn't just quit. But when I got saved, it was one of the things that I had the will to give up. That my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I wanted to represent that kingdom, this glorious kingdom that I had come into. Listen, it's not the tobacco. It goes beyond the things we're doing. It gets down to the core issue of the heart. Like the man that said, I hope God can deal with this because I'm not giving it up. I said, it ain't that anymore. It's that attitude. It's the attitude that says, I don't care what God says. I'm going to do this. That's rebellion. And that's what made an angel a devil. Can you say amen? That's what made. Come on. That's what made an angel a devil. Satan is the rebel of the universe. He led the rebellion in heaven, didn't he? And a third of it, he was so persuasive. Your flesh, this fallen nature, is persuasive. It'll persuade you that to rebel is somehow going to be okay because you're justified. My flesh is weak. They hurt me. I've got a right. Honey, one thing you've got to remember on Communion Sunday. When you come to the Lord's table, you don't come there to negotiate with Him about how much you're going to give to Him or how much you're going to hold back. You come to agree to unconditional surrender. At the foot of the cross, you agree to unconditional surrender. And one of the problems in the church is we're not preaching the Lordship of Jesus. We're not preaching unconditional surrender. I remember when I first got saved, I went home and I had 50 albums. And for four people, that was a heap. I remember when we started getting rid of things because I thought, I cannot listen to this and reconcile it with this part of my life anymore. This doesn't fit into this new life that Christ has given me. I'd much rather hear, amen, someone singing, Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom and trumpets will sound. I'd rather hear the songs of hope than the songs of depression and rebellion. I used to sing, take this whole world and give me Jesus. Yeah. I won't turn back. So let me read the scripture in closing. Are you getting anything about surrender today? You can't tame it. God in you can. I can't tame it. God in me can. I can do all things. It goes beyond prophesying. Let me say this real quick. I've said it before, but let me say it again in closing. What happens? First evidence of being baptized in the Holy Ghost. What is the initial evidence across the board of being baptized, truly immersed, surrendered to the Holy Spirit and controlled by Him? What is the first place that that is made evident? What does He take? What is it expressed? You speak in what? Ah, you speak with what? Other tongues. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the tongue, see, the heart and tongue are one. The heart is telling the tongue what to say. Going through that computer called the brain. But it's the heart attitude that the brain is assimilating into verbiage. Amen? How many know your brain's a computer? It's one of the best computers in all the world, better than Hewlett Packard. Amen? But you can get a virus in that sucker. You know what's going to determine the health of your computer? What you download into it. Amen? How many know you can go home and press a button and you can be in the worst porn store in Holland where it's such open sexuality? You can find anything. You can find child. You can find naked kids and sex acts. The touch of your finger. And they can't police it all. And there's people getting hooked into all of that. When I preach on it here and people get mad and don't come back because I touched a nerve, honey, it's trying to keep people out of jail. It's trying to get people out of bondage. You see people that were school teachers, respectable people, being hauled away with handcuffs behind them because they went down that dark road into that deep dungeon. Can you say, man? I mean, I can't help but feel something for the guy that just kept going on down the road deeper and deeper and deeper until the normal sexual stuff wasn't enough to, so he had to get into the child stuff. You may not have been a pedophile to begin with, but it led down into that ugly road. We mention it in church and people don't want to hear about it. It's what you feed into this thing.
Yes, amen.
And what keeps you from feeding the wrong stuff into this thing? This thing. Keep your heart with all diligence, for what out of it are the issues of life. Wow, how do you keep your heart? You stay surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You start obeying Him in the little things, not just the big things. We're coming into income tax time, and I remember the true story given by someone who was with the IRS that got a letter in the mail. And the letter had no return address. It was filed from a particular state, but it was probably dropped off at the post office. So there's no return address, no way to trace it back except to the state or the city, which so many thousands of people. And in it, there was a check for $1,000 written to the IRS and made out. And a note. And the note said, I've been having trouble sleeping because I knew that I owed you. And I didn't report it. Receive this check for $1,000. And if I still can't sleep, I will send you the rest. Yeah. Obedience in little things can help you sleep. You know what it said about his beloved? He giveth his beloved sleep. Amen? There's nothing like going to bed at peace with God. Amen? And having the peace of God just flood over your soul. Nothing like that. Joy in that. Strength in that. Hallelujah. Amen. If you find $20 in the parking lot, you got a choice. Train your body in obedience. Get it used to obey. Amen. He said if you'll be obedient, faithful involves obedience, doesn't it? You can't be faithful and be disobedient. And if you're faithful in a few things, God says these little things that you don't think mean a lot, it's cultivating an obedient heart and obedient life. So when the big things come, you're already practicing obedience. When you took that $20 back and said, hey, somebody dropped this in the parking lot, and, well, nobody comes and gets it, maybe you'll end up with it. I don't know. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you know what is right and you commit to do it. Amen? We close with the words of Jesus, my third closing, final one, hopefully. If any man hears my words and does it not, I'll show you what he's like. You can preach the word too and not do it. So it involves preachers as well. If any man hears my word and does it not, doesn't commit to obey, he's like a man that built his house on the sand. See, the foundation is a commitment to Christ where you obey him in all things. Will you obey him in all things? No. But your heart will smite you when you don't, and you'll repent. And he's going to bless the attitude, not just the activity. Everybody say he'll bless the attitude. There's nobody in here that can claim perfect obedience. There's no man on this planet, no woman on this planet, no, not Billy Graham, no, not anybody else. Nobody can do it. But Christ, he was the only perfect obedient one. But everyone in here should be perfectly committed to following Jesus. And that means I want to obey him. I really want to obey my master. Can you say amen? If we don't cultivate that want to, we're raising a generation of spiritual rebels that the word of God is not going to impact. Because we know what the Bible says. We've been to Bible class and Bible study, but we're going to do what our flesh wants. We never crucify it. How do you know if it's crucified? My actions and my words. My actions, say my actions and my words.
My actions and my words.
And the wind is going to come. See, you're going to have opposition. The culture is going to go against the grain. The wind is going to come. The rain's going to come. You'll be tested on this. And it's going to fall. It may take a long time. But that foundation is going to give way. That foundation of lack of commitment and devotion, it's going to fall. It's going to be a great fall, no matter how tall you build it. It's going to fall. I've seen people that look like spiritual towers. They seem to spiritualize all of us. They had a world vision. They were going to take the world for Jesus, but they were on a sandy foundation. And when push come to shove, disobedience caused that whole thing to fall. They were towering spiritual paragons, but it all fell when they disobeyed, didn't it? But if any man hears my words and does it, gives heed, commits to it, devotes to it, crucifies the flesh in order to do it, I'll show you what he's like. He's like a man that digged deep, and laid his foundation upon a rock, and the wind came, the same wind, the same rain, the same flood tides, but it did not fall, for it was founded on a rock. The rock was not just Jesus. He said, it's obeying what I'm saying. Amen? Amen? Why callest thou me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say? What a phony we become when we call him Lord out of one corner of our mouth and live a life that lets him have no influence or little influence in it. Righteousness is achieved when we make a new commitment to obey. It's that simple. It makes us right with God. I will find me a man. God said, I'll hand pick me a man to be king over Israel. Saul isn't going to be that anymore. His days are numbered as king. He's got a rebel heart. But I will find me a man after my own heart who will do whatever I tell him. And he picked David. And that's how David became a man after God's own heart. Did David obey perfectly? No. Amen? Did he repent when he disobeyed? Yes, he did. Did he go on in a life of obedience rather than giving up on himself or God? Yes, he did. And how did he die then? Because of that commitment to obey. A man. These be the last words of King David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. A man after God's own heart. That was his ultimate testimony because of obedience. Hallelujah. I'll just read verse 21 and we'll close. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. I'm going to read a little more. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth. Lay up his words in thine heart. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up and thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. And it goes on and on and on. Submission. Obedience. And repentance, that's true prosperity because we have God's favor. And through God's favor, God's blessing. But you don't get it by just confessing, standing, claiming. You get it by surrendering. How did they bow in the Old Testament as we close? And brother, would you come? How did they bow in the Old Testament? How did they bow to worship God in the Old Testament? How did they physically express their idea of worship? How did they do it? Bible said they bowed with their faces to the ground. There's that element of submission. Can you say amen? Amen? You know who expresses that right now? The Muslims. Not the Christians. I'm not asking you to put your head on the floor. I'm asking you to put your heart in a bowed position. Do you understand what I'm telling you? May I illustrate what they did before Jehovah? And tell me if there isn't submission here. What does this look like to you? I'm submitted to my master. The lordship of Jesus is one of the elements that is missing from the Christian, pseudo-Christian gospel of the 21st century. It's not the four-letter word slipped and said by Christians. It's the three-letter word that brings such a hateful response, and that's sin. All rebellion is sin. If you see it as anything else, you'll never deal with it for what it is. It will not be dealt with effectively until you say, that is sin. And if I continue in it, I'm sinning against my God. And I don't want to do that because I'm saved. I'm newborn. My life has been turned around. Amen? Have you heard something important in this message? Can you take something away from here that will help you live a closer, obedient life to Jesus Christ? Could this be a year of obedience for God's people? Do you believe God will visit revival on any church that makes a new commitment to obey? It's called returning to God.
Yes.
And what happens when we return to God? He returns to us. Do you think you'll notice? You think you'll notice if God's blessing just pours upon your life? Yes, you will, and so will others. Praise God. Amen? I'm going to ask you a personal, serious question. Is there room in your life for more commitment to obey? May I see your hands in this room? Hallelujah. All right, what are we going to do now about that room for obedience when we walk through that door? Not here where we're feeling something, but when we walk out that door, the pressure of the culture, the weakness of the flesh hits us in the flesh, in the face. Can we seek God till He come and rain righteousness upon us that strengthens us to do right? How does He rain righteousness? He just follows? No, He strengthens us to do right. Yeah. It's like rain out of heaven. Can you say, man? And He restores. This could be a year of restoration for so many people. Praise God. Amen. When I had that energy at work, I felt like I was 30 again. I tell you, I felt like God is restoring to me the years that the caterpillar, cankerworm, palmer worm hath eaten from me in order to finish that night. When I got home, I was dead dog. But just getting through that, but in that moment of that meat that you know not of, praise God, there's nothing like obeying God. There's a blessing in it. And the blessing itself is the true riches. Not just how much you get. I don't know what I'll end up with before I leave this world. I know one thing. If you were my heir, I wouldn't plan on a whole lot. I've told my children, you better get good jobs. Because if you're waiting on me to croak, you may be in big trouble. Remember the kid that asked his grandpa, you know, two little, they were out at grandpa's farm. And they asked grandpa, said, Grandpa, can you make a noise like a frog? And he said, well, yes, Tommy, I think I can. He said, well, good, because Dad says when you croak, we can have a pony. Anyway. Listen, when I croak, nobody's getting an Escalade. You hear me? Nobody's getting no Escalade from me. And you know something, David? Listen. I may never be rich by this world's standard, but I'm going to leave my children a legacy because they've seen a dad who loves God, who serves God, who is happy with what he has from the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. And I'll tell you something right now. I wouldn't trade the shoes, and it's not because they're $500 shoes either. I wouldn't trade these shoes for anybody's shoes because I know where I stand in my walk with God. Can you say amen? And he's given me everything that pertains to life and godliness. Everything I need to be happy in life, I've got. Amen. I'm living joyfully with the wife of my youth. Going on 46 years, but I'm living joyfully with a woman. Can you imagine that? I'm living joyfully with the wife of my youth. Praise God. Is that not a blessing? Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm enjoying a healthy body at 62. Because thy health shall spring forth speedily. Don't tell me God don't bless obedience. And what He just blessed me with, you can't buy. Patrick Swayze still has this muscular, athletic body, but he's dying of pancreatic cancer. He's got about a year left if all goes well. I'd rather be in my shoes without the wealth, without the fame, and knowing Jesus today and being able to touch the hem of His garment. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but I feel rich today. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo! I feel so rich today. And on top of all that, God is with us. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. God is with us through it. When you go through the fire, it won't kindle on you. I'm with you. When you walk through the waters, they won't overflow you because I'm with you. Praise God, both the fire and the flood, we have no fear. Praise the Lord. Amen. So be thou, O Lord, near to me. Will you stand today? Let's give Him praise in this place. Hallelujah. Let this be a hallmark message for the year. Let it be a message that stands in our heart for the whole year and sets the tone of this cry for revival by new commitment to obedience. If you make a new commitment to obedience, you just repented. Can you say amen? That's what repentance is. It's not just godly sorrow. It's tears. It works repentance, but it isn't repentance. It can bring you to repentance, but it isn't repentance. Can you say amen? Repentance is when we make a new commitment to obey. Hallelujah. I want to be obedient to God this coming year. I want to hold my peace. And let the Lord fight my battles so that victory can be mine. Number one, if you will. Let's worship Him. Are you glad you came?